And it's 3 days to the December polls. Hashtag Stop Galamsey Now still on. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight on Newsnight is the final lap of campaigning ahead of Decision Day on December 7. We delve into the last-ditch efforts to sway undecided voters and solidify support from the decided. All eyes on the final rallies of the NPP and NDC at Legon and Medina as the political battle intensifies. We have the latest from the Election Security Task Force meeting with the two parties to properly coordinate movement in that part of town to ease the inconvenience from the congestion.
The Inspector General of Police and the team from the Police Management Board met leaders or representatives of the NDC and the NPP as both parties prepare for their final rallies ahead of the general election.
We have the very latest from that. Meanwhile, NDC presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama sharpens his criticism of Dr. Mahmood Bawumia targeting the E-Gate controversy, saying it has exposed the fragile fundamentals of Bawumia's much-publicized digital agenda.
You can do all the propaganda with digitalization you like. If the fundamentals of your digitalization are weak, the digital gates will expose you.
Plus, the endorsement of the PNC and the GFP of the NDC will tell you a bit more about that. And all is set for the special voting in the two remaining regions, Eastern and Western, after it was rescheduled by the Electoral Commission over ballot paper leakage. We'll hear from the EC, which says it is all set.
As we speak now, all the materials that are required for the elections have been dispatched to the two regions. Because if you are a special voter and you don't go there tomorrow to go and vote, you will not be able to vote on December 7th.
Also, six civil society organizations say they've been sidelined by the Electoral Commission because they are yet to get accreditation to observe Saturday's polls.
The Electoral Commission is run like a private property by Madame Jean Mensah.
Plus, the Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC, urges civil society organizations to collaborate on information sharing to ensure credible elections reporting.
Say whatever information is going out has been verified. Now that there are many, some code of conduct may be necessary, some training will be necessary so that we don't compete in putting information out that has not been verified.
And President Akufo-Addo upgrades Ho from a municipal assembly to a metropolitan assembly together with six other assemblies. We have details of that.
And in business, rising prices of some food items pushed November inflation marginally to 23%.
And in sports, former Ghana international Sam Johnson urges in-form Barbara Mann to reject calls for his return to the Black Stars amid the team's recent struggles.
That and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. Please do all to join us here for more on your election headquarters. Join us via WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. We are also live on X Spaces, myjoyonline.com, Love 99.5 FM, and affiliates across the country. I am MFA Apau. Please do stay on for details. We start off from the election headquarters.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technology, A Convenient Service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging the Gaps for Positive Youth Development, Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate, Deluxe Paint, Paint Mu Champion.
And tonight, of course, is the final lap of campaigning ahead of Decision Day on December 7. And of course, we know that the two main political parties are in a last-ditch effort to sway undecided voters and solidify support from the decided already. And all eyes are on the final rallies of the two parties, NPP and NDC, at Legon and Medina. As the political parties, the battle intensifies for them. Already, the Election Security Task Force has been meeting with the two parties to properly coordinate movement in that part of town. As expected, there will be a lot of congestion in that area. If you are in around that area, I'm sure you're wondering what exactly the plans are for you in terms of going home tomorrow, because both parties are having their rally starting from 12, and also we are hearing about 1 p.m. tomorrow, and by now they would still be on. But my colleague James Aveji is joining us live from the police headquarters, where we've been getting some updates from the Election Security Task Force, National Election Security Task Force, on what exactly the plans are for tomorrow as the two parties prepare for their major final rallies tomorrow. James, you've been hearing from the police on this. What exactly are the arrangements?
So this arrangement is purely for supporters of the NDC and the NPP. I mean, the diversion are towards the University of Ghana Sports Stadium, as well as Medina, where the NDC will be holding their rally. So let me take you through the diversion for NPP supporters who will be coming from Adenta. They will take left at the Reef Junction towards Aviation, and then to the UPSA campus, and then they will take right to Okpongolo and into the University of Ghana. For NPP supporters from Domi, they will go through Hato Junction towards Dimpa and then into the University of Ghana campus and make their way to the University of Ghana Sports Stadium. Now, for NDC supporters who are coming from Pete Kwachi or, Accra Central, they will take right at Chiashi towards UPSA and then take left to the Medina main road and then make their way to Zongo Junction where the rally would be happening. For NDC supporters who will be coming from Domi, they will take left at the KFC Junction on the Hacho Road towards the Wisconsin University and then make their way to Zongo Junction. Now, this, according to the police, is to prevent any of the supporters of the two political parties meeting at a point where which could result in any form of violence or chaos among the supporters. And so what they are trying to do is to cut off supporters from the Medina area and then Chiasi area so that none of the two will be meeting at any point in time. So this, as I said earlier, is targeted at the supporters of the political parties and not the general road users.
But then we are concerned. How about the general road users? What happens to us is also the concern for many. Did they say?
For general road users, they would the main road, which is the Adenta Medina main road through Okpongolo, Atomic Junction to Okpongolo to Chiasi and to Accra. The indication we have is that the general road users will use the same route. But for party supporters, the expectation is that they would be or they are expected to be in party colors. And so there will be police barriers at where the diversions are supposed to happen, where when police officers see the supporters in their paraphernalia in cars or on motorbikes, they would insist that they take the appropriate route to their destinations. But for road users, the routes would be, they would take the route as they used to be, except the party supporters.
Okay. Well, we can hear from Grace Akufo-Siodu as he addressed the media a while ago in terms of the preparations.
Today, the Inspector General of Police and the team from the Police Management Board met leaders or representatives of the NDC and the NPP as both parties prepare for their final rallies ahead of the general election. These rallies are scheduled for tomorrow. For the NPP, they will be holding their rallies at the University of Ghana Sports Park, and the NDC will be holding theirs at the Zurak Park in Medina. As part of measures to ensure there is security, law and order, and both parties and their supporters are able to hold their rallies without any security breaches, the Inspector General of Police today led a team from the Police Management Board and the Accra Regional Commander and his Divisional Commander as well to visit the location. They walked the various locations to look for access route to make sure that we can coordinate the movement of the supporters to the two rallies without any security hitches whatsoever. At Medina, we met leaders of the groups or representatives of the parties on the ground, and we engaged with them, did the work with them, toured the location, look at their parking sites, look at the main event center. We inspected exits and entry points. We did the same thing at Legon as well, where we met some representatives of the party and the IGP, engaged with them, interacted with them, made them understand why we thought that recce was necessary, all aimed at ensuring that everybody who shows up for either rally will be safe. After that walk and inspection of the two facilities, the representatives of the parties were invited to a meeting at the headquarters, which meeting just ended. And at the meeting, we discussed with them the need to put in place some road diversions and roadblocks to help direct their supporters to the various locations without any difficulties at all. After deliberations with both the leaders of the NPP and the NDC, both of them agreed with the police. They were actually very happy that we had put such arrangement in place for them. They expressed their commitment to work with their party supporters, their faithfuls, to speak to them, to bring to the attention the security arrangements that have been put in place, so that both parties can have their rallies. As we know, both locations are quite in some proximity, but that notwithstanding, the police are going to be on the ground. We are going to deploy sufficiently to ensure that there will be no hitches at all.
Well, so that's ACP Grace Akufo-Siodu there, director in charge of public affairs. They are addressing the media a while ago on plans in place for the two final major rallies for the NPP and the NDC tomorrow in Legon and, of course, in Medina. And let me quickly bring in the communications director of the New Patriotic Party, Richard Ahiagba, in that last-ditch efforts to actually get the undecided and then also cement the vote of the decided as well. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So let's talk about plans for tomorrow. There must be a particular reason for the choice of Legon. What would it be? Hello, Mr. Ahiagba.
Hello, madam. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello, madam. Yes, please.
Okay, great. I was asking, first of all, the decision that went into choosing Legon for this final rally.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Richard.
Oh, wow. Hello.
Well, it does appear that Richard Ahiagba is unable to hear me. But as and when we're able to get a clearer connection to him, we'll speak to him on this particular plans for this last major rally for the NPP and the NDC. And then there's more on the campaign trail tonight. And the NDC flag bearer, John Mahama, has descended heavily on his opponent, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, over his recent E-gate controversy. A footage showing the E-gate at Kotoka International Airport reportedly delaying an opening for the vice president during the commissioning went viral after it popped up on the internet. Referring to the incident on his campaign tour in the Ashanti region, the former president took a jab at his opponent.
Baby, let me call Abuja. Mene encrophobi. Yedru airport. Nabako, my passport, I expire. No name. And to Adema or Mohammed, your passport, and your car is say, ah. Nasama Pena Bedrich say, you bet me the Ghana card at 2 coin. And besides, say, ah, who are Ghana card? I say, I. And I'm saying, for more, say, almost you bet me the 2 coin. Ghana, hey, immigration officer. I say, there be all to me for 2 coin. And Sanya, you're in the corner, and the passport expire. No, you're in Ghana, and you're cobay. Now, and now, as you say, me see, machina, machina, say, Oba, Omemwa. Now Pentema, electronic into which name him now what they will passport at also. It's me kind of passport to know now Cassetrum, never be a gate to know it. Nasadia no airport vibre. Now maintain say, ye DC airporter, Omampenia nana biditri, Eco Biano. If you say, a dear airport via Omode Toho. Now, Mr. Digita, Officer Bier, who saw you, Mr. Digita. I don't call Jai Bibia, say, sir, electronic gates no Kobiano. And now, or then the Ghana card at also. Gates say MBA. Or the Atoso Atoso gates say MBA. And to provoke us, the American said, the digital gates didn't open for the digital man. And may you saw no Nekasa,
Namaka say, you can do all the propaganda with digitalization you like. If the fundamentals of your digitalization are weak, the digital gates will expose you.
Well, we know also that the People's National Congress, the PNC, and the Ghana Freedom Party have been officially declaring their support for the NDC in the upcoming polls. Well, we've been hearing from John Dramani Mahama on this. He says it's a clear sign of the party's victory in the December polls.
PNC for Ghana NDC PNC penyin fo on be kasa wo ha ye da mo ase na se so mate se Ghana Freedom Party so APA aka se o mo be support NDC enti bibia chere se ekunim die ebe ye dia.
Well, that's John Dramani Mahama. My colleague Maxwell Agbagba is still in the Ashanti region with the team, joins us on the line. Maxwell, you got to interact with the flag bearer of the PNC, the field flag bearer, Bernard Muna, on this support for the NDC. What did he tell you?
Well, he says since their declaration of support for the NDC some days ago, they've been going around canvassing the support for the party. So they've not just given the greater crisis, they've actually been traveling to different parts of the country to campaign basically for the NDC. And today they were in the Ashanti region and they decided to join the campaign trail. So I asked him, why not any other political party start the NDC? He says the NDC's vision aligns with that of the PNC. And he says he's one person who has demonstrated against the implementation of the e-levy. And John Mahama has clearly espoused his position on that. So he says the PNC's vision aligns with that of the NDC. And that's why they decided to endorse the NDC and now join their campaign too.
Well, as you can see, I have the Ashanti regional team led by the regional chairman. We have the national youth organizer of our party. We have the general secretary. We have a NEC member, Reverend Samuel J. Debra, the national chairman, and a host of party supporters that are here with us. It is not sufficient to just declare that the PNC is supporting John Dramani Mahama and his effort to become president. It's important that we work with him. So we have been working across the country, know that the PNC members around are entreated to vote for him. So we are working assiduously that that declaration, we are confident, will lead to victory for the people of Ghana in 2024.
Well, Maxwell, so tell us, the flag bearer of the NDC is still in the Ashanti region. When is he hoping to wrap it all up ahead of this major rally tomorrow?
So it is the fifth day of the campaign tour here in the Ashanti region. He is expected to wrap up his campaign in the Ashanti region tomorrow and then later join party people in Accra for that final run. But the John Mahama is continuing his campaign with a busy schedule. His first activity today was in the Mantongo constituency and then followed with visits to about seven constituencies. And now, as the election thing is, his campaign is intensified. The team working very late into the night. The team left the hotel yesterday at 9 a.m. and returned at 3 a.m. today. And today's activities are expected to run in the early hours of tomorrow to visit this evening before wrapping up with the day.
Okay, that's my colleague Maxwell Agbagba there giving us updates on what the NDC's presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama has been up to. We know that the running mate to Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is also out and about in Edum. That's Dr. Matthew Opoku Prempeh. Well, the wife of the vice president, Samira Bawumia, has also called on voters to reject violence and resist any form of intimidation on Saturday, December 7th, as we go to the polls. Well, speaking at the Ashanti Women for Peace Conference in Kumasi, Mrs. Bawumia urged voters to exercise their franchise peacefully and avoid any instance of violence in the voting process. She's been speaking to my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa Yadom in the following report.
It's obvious to have development you need peace, and we've seen the tensions around, we've heard some of the rhetoric, which is very unfortunate, but we need to continue as leaders to encourage our people to be peaceful. Elections are not about conflict, they're about making a choice. And a choice should be a peaceful choice. And inshallah, victory will be for the new patriotic party. But we need to vote in peace.
Is Dr. Mahmoud Dibamia winning the elections?
Absolutely.
So that's Samira Baumia, they're interacting with Nana Bwachi down Kwai Adom. Well, a kebab of a business that kept a family afloat came tumbling after the owner lost some fingers 2 decades ago. Patrons of Paulina Brago's kebab business shunned her, maybe because of the disability suffered in the accident. She's been rendered jobless after the accident made her frail. In the following report, Nana Yaojima explores political party manifestos in relation to empowering women like Paulina.
Paulina Brago sits in front of her room, saddened, wondering where the day's meal will come from. After losing 2 of her fingers in an accident, all patrons of her kebab business refused to patronize her.
3 days, 4 days, in Sukra,
I sometimes go 3 days without food. I feel ill due to that. All I am able to do is to turn to God for help.
According to the latest unemployment data by the Ghana Statistical Service, about 2 out of 10 women are unemployed. Paulina has managed to switch jobs after her accident, but she could barely last in any since her health has remained unstable. Few days to the 2024 general elections, the New Patriotic Party is promising the implementation of the Women's Trade Empowerment Fund to provide loans and grants for female businesses. The opposition National Democratic Congress presents a similar alternative, proposing the establishment of a women's development bank. Gender financing experts Sarah Annam support the approach of both parties, but the mode of implementation should be reconsidered.
Create a certain revolving fund that sits with the central bank to probably give these funds to financial institutions to only lend to women at cheaper rates.
For Joy News, Nana Yaojima, Kumasi.
Now, President Akufo-Addo has granted executive approval for the upgrade of selected districts to municipalities and to metropolises. According to the Ministry of Local Government, it is aimed at enhancing local governance and development. My colleague Michael Ashali joins me in studio with the specific assemblies upgraded. First off, how many assemblies have been approved to be upgraded, you say?
MFA, 7 of them have been given the green light to be upgraded, either from a municipality or metropolitan, and from a district to a municipality. I'll walk you through the full list that we have here. So it starts from the whole municipal assembly as it is now. We'll now assume a new status of the whole metropolitan assembly. We also have Sunyani Municipal Assembly that will also now become the Sunyani Metropolitan Assembly. New Jobin South and then Gwa Municipal Assemblies will now also become New Jobin South Metropolitan Assembly and then Gwa Metropolitan Assembly. In terms of the district assemblies that will be moving to municipalities, we have 3 of them: Ofensu North, Brim North, and then Karaga districts. All of them will now change to municipal assemblies.
And you've been digging a bit more into the constitution as to why this will happen and under what circumstances assemblies will qualify to be upgraded. Tell us what you found.
Yes, MFA. So if you look at the Act 936, it spells out exactly what will qualify districts to be upgraded from municipal to metropolitans. It says that in case of a district, there is a minimum population of 75,000 people. If you also go to a municipality, you also need a minimum of 95,000 people, and then for a metropolis, you need at least a minimum of 250,000 people. And before this is done, there's a collaboration that has to be done with the Electoral Commission, who will have to also make a recommendation under this particular section to the Ministry for Local Government, who will then also forward this to the President, as we have seen, and will approve by the President himself.
Thank you very much, Michael. Well, the Electoral Commission says it is fully prepared for tomorrow's special voting exercise in the Eastern and Western regions, with all materials dispatched to polling stations there. With just hours to go, special voters such as security personnel, election officials and media have one more chance to cast their ballot ahead of the polls. Deputy Commissioner at the EC, Dr. Bosman Asare, speaks about the Commission's readiness earlier on the Midday News.
The Electoral Commission is very much ready for the special voting tomorrow. As we speak now, all the materials that are required for the elections have been dispatched to the 2 regions. that's the Western region and the Eastern region. So we do expect that all those who are special voters in these two regions, regardless of where they are located now, will be able to make it to their special voting centers. In the Eastern region, we have 33 centers, and in the Western region, we have 17 centers. So we expect all registered voters go there in their numbers to go and vote. Because if you are a special voter and you don't go there tomorrow to go and vote, you will not be able to vote on December 7th. So we expect that they will all take advantage of this window and vote.
Well, from reprinting of this new ballot papers, at least for the two regions, up until delivery, would you say that all the parties are aligned in terms of no objections at all to this new process?
Yeah, we know when the issue came up, we had a meeting with the parties, and the parties were in full support because all of us are committed to the integrity of the process. And in that meeting, the main conclusion was about integrity, ensuring that the elections will be very fair, free, transparent, embedded in a lot of integrity. And that's what we did by taking that decision to reprint the ballots for the Eastern and for the Western regions. So as we speak now, none of the parties has raised any red flag, and all of us are in unison working together to ensure that Ghana achieves another successful general election.
But what's the status of the investigations into that leaked ballot paper?
So, you know, we have been incredibly consumed by the printing of the ballots and getting ready for the special voting. And so we've allowed those who are in charge to continue with their investigations. And as you may be aware, once everything is consummated, they will bring it to the attention of the commission.
That's Dr. Bosman Asari there speaking to me earlier on the midday news about preparedness for the special voting exercise in the two outstanding regions. It was rescheduled to tomorrow because of that leaked ballot paper. Well, we'll find out on the ground how things are actually shaping up. My colleague Kofi Sion has been interacting with the EC director at that level.
All the ballot papers for the special voting have arrived. We got them this morning at exactly 7:45 a.m. and we have distributed them to our offices. Our offices were here, so all the 33 constituencies have gotten their ballot papers for the special vote. So tomorrow the elections will come on. As we praise, they've gotten all the ballot papers for the special voting as well as the May elections. So they are set and they've gotten to affirm praise as I'm speaking now. For the May election, we are expecting the ballot papers tomorrow. So we hope to receive them tomorrow, and then we'll do further distributions to the constituencies.
Well, so that's the EC Regional Director interacting with my colleague Kofi Sion. Kofi, so that's your interaction that we've just been hearing between yourself and the EC Regional Director. I'm sure you've been interacting with the various political parties and the agents as well. What have they been telling you about preparations for tomorrow?
All the agents of the political parties were present, especially the visible ones, the NDC and the MPP, were around, as well as the independent candidates. And after the distribution and all the taking of the serial numbers, I spoke to the NDC, Eastern Regional Director of Elections, Alhaji Sidi Bello, and he says that they are very content with what has transpired so far. But I never got the opportunity to speak to the NPP Director of Elections. He was around, but he left early before we conducted the interview.
But generally, though, you would say that all is set for tomorrow.
Yes, if what took place today is anything to go by, I can say that everything is set, just as the EC Director for the region said. And so far, the political parties have expressed content with the process. And I'm sure tomorrow, when the process begins, everything will be fine.
We are grateful. That's Kofi Sion, my colleague there in the Eastern region. We're told that all is also set in the Western region. And of course, we are all over it for you, your election headquarters. We're also hearing from the Electoral Commission dismissing claims circulating on social media about a video allegedly showing a voter register for Ahafo-Ano 1 and 2 being transported in a white pickup truck along with other registers. In a statement signed by the Deputy Chair of Operations, Samuel Tete, the Commission labeled the video as fake and urges the public to disregard it. For them, it's important to note that the commission provides the final register to the political parties and has been the practice. The political parties also print the final register for their agents. Additionally, it is instructive to note that the track in the video does not belong to the Electoral Commission of Ghana. The public should therefore disregard the said video and said it is calculated to create suspicion and mistrust for the commission and its work, and they are urging the police to investigate this particular matter. The registration number of the pickup truck, which is visible in the video, should be able to assist the police with their investigations. And that's the Electoral Commission on that. And my colleague Ina Thalia also joins us briefly from the Western region on preparations ahead of tomorrow. Ina, what can you tell us? All is set?
Yes, from residents that I have spoken to, they are ready to pass their vote tomorrow. Unfortunately, the regional EC officer, A.T. Wilson, has not picked my call since morning. I've been trying to call her to find out their preparation, but I'm yet to get to her. But from residents, they are ready for the ballot tomorrow to cast their vote in all 17 constituencies in the Western region.
Thank you very much. That's my colleague Ina Thalia Kwansa giving us updates on the situation in the Western region. George Riafe is here in the Greater Accra region with me in the studio. Have you voted?
I'll vote on Saturday in the morning. Okay. Quickly do that and come to work.
Your vote is your right. You need to vote. Okay.
And,
what's in business? Is my gold ready?
Oh, we are still working on it. Saving the cash so that we can buy your
everybody's
quarter ounce
okay.
of gold as your Christmas present.
If you make it two, it should be fine.
And quarter ounce is going for over 11,000 Ghana cedis.
So what? Am I not worth more than 11,000 cedis? Masa, what's in business?
Your price cannot be quantified in terms of value being put on your
life
and what you
vibe.
Present to me.
You should
MFA.
Be a politician. Look at you.
Well, coming up in business, rising prices of some food items pushed November inflation marginally to 23%, and $360 million IMF cash finally hits Bank of Ghana's account, a move expected to help with the current stability of the local currency. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, rising prices of some food items like vegetables, tubers and cereals push inflation rate for November to new levels. The Ghana Statistical Service put the figure at 23%. There is more in this report.
The increased food prices is coming at a time that most market watchers were looking forward to the country benefiting from the harvest season for the third quarter of this year. However, it appears that was not the situation. The general price levels for food from September to November this year had gone up almost 4%. However, on the non-food side, it went up marginally. Another interesting development from the data released by the Ghana Statistical Service also showed that imported inflation was rather going down, while inflation for locally produced items witnessed some marginal increase for the month of November this year. Vegetable, tubers, plantains, as well as cereals were some of the food prices that caused the hike in inflation for the month of November. The Savannah region recorded the highest inflation of 46% at the regional level.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Professor Sama Kobnini has been given more details about the drivers for the inflation rate for November.
We defined items with significant weight as those that have weight greater than one. And in that basket, we saw plantain, specifically green plantain, with a weight of 1.0, recording an annual rate of change of 61% for the month of November 2024. Yam also, on an annual basis, recorded a price change of 58.7%. And then, tomatoes, that was driving rate of inflation a few months back, out of the 30 items that we have with significant weight, recorded deflation of 3.7% on a month-on-month basis for the month of November 2024.
Government statistician Professor Samuel Kobnini. And the country's total earnings from exports for the third quarter of this year went up marginally. The Ghana Statistical Service puts the amount at $4.9 billion. There is more in this report.
Gold was the major driver behind the surge in Ghana's total export earnings ending September this year. It contributed over 60% of total exports for the period. According to the Ghana Statistical Service, total gold exports amounted to 11.6 billion cedis. Crude oil followed, generating significant earnings for the country from July to September 2024. The top five exports, gold, crude petroleum, cocoa paste, manganese ore, and tuna, collectively accounted for 83.2% of total exports. On the import side, Ghana spent $4.7 billion from January to September this year, resulting in a trade surplus of 3.9 billion cedis. Meanwhile, United Arab Emirates emerged as the top export destination for the third quarter of this year, accounting for 25% of all commodities that were exported from July to September 2024.
And that is a Business Desk report on the $360 million IMF cash has finally hit Bank of Ghana's account from Washington, D.C., U.S. Now, Joy Business understands that it came in yesterday. Now, this could increase Bank of Ghana's international reserves to more than $8 billion following this inflow. The Monetary Policy Committee data released last week showed that November reserves had hit $7.92 billion. Meanwhile, economist Professor Peter Korte believes this could go a long way in helping stabilize the Ghana cedi.
Help to stability of the foreign exchange, because we've enjoyed some relative stability lately, and with an additional inflow that will help satisfy some forex demands, especially given the period we find ourselves in an election year, and then also towards when December occurs. And of course, we know the first quarter of every year there is repatriation of profits, so there's going to be some pressure on the forex. So this certainly will help maintain some stability on the forex market, therefore will not translate into higher prices of imported items and also inflation.
And that is economist Professor Peter Korte talking about the $360 million IMF cash that has hit the Bank of Ghana's accounts and the impact of this on the local currency. Now, more oil marketing companies are expected to increase prices of petroleum products at the pumps. Now, this is coming after Shell and Total Energies took the lead this morning to hike their prices at the various service stations across the country. There is more in this report.
Some of the oil marketing firms engaged by Joy Business said they will go ahead to review prices at the pumps in the coming days. This is based on some industry developments that have resulted in adjusting prices to prevent the situation from getting worse due to happenings in the industry. Some of the players had initially told Joy Business that they were prepared to hold on with any price increase, as others conceded reduction in prices. Again, the decision by Shell and Total Energies to increase prices could force other oil marketing companies, which were initially hoping to hold prices, to reconsider their decisions. It is interesting, at this time, some major indicators are going down. For example, the Ghana cedi is stabilizing, while prices of finished petroleum products also declining on the international market. It will also be interesting to see the margin of reduction by more than 150 oil marketing companies in the country.
And that's a Business Desk report, and that's all for business on news. And if you're talking about development on the Ghana Stock Exchange, and if you hold MTN shares, each is up by 2 pesos to close at 2 cedis 40 pesos. And your present MFI is that fuel prices are actually going up. Contrary to index data that suggested that it should have gone down from the 1st of December. And we've seen some interesting.
You say that's a present, yeah?
Yeah, that's the initial present. Then the gold coin will come later.
Okay, let the gold coin come before. Okay. Well, thank you very much, George. Let's do sports now. Ms. Mao,
Well, MFI, former Ghana international Sam Johnson is the one who has been speaking about Barbara Mann, and he's advising the left back, he's been advising the left back to stay away from the Black Stars for the foreseeable future. now. Barbara Raman last featured for Ghana during the 2023 African Cup of Nations qualifier against Central African Republic in Kumasi, where he faced some jeers from sections of the crowd. Subsequently, Barbara Raman withdrew from the squad for the 2023 AFCON after being named in the provisional 55-man list by coach Chris Hughton. Now, despite this, Raman has been in stellar form for his Greek club this season, making 10 appearances and scoring 3 goals, and it has renewed calls for his return to the national team. However, Sam Johnson, speaking to online sports news portal Football Pan-Africa Football, stated that, and I quote, "If I were him, Barbara Raman, I won't come. He has suffered a lot from Ghanaians, including some of us." He goes on to say, "If I were to be him, I don't care whether I'm playing like Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. I won't come." But he says that decision is up to him, and you know, it's up to him to make it. Now, away from that, well, it's one of the presidential candidates, Cheda Nkwame Bediako, has come under heavy criticism for criticizing Ghanaians who spend 2 hours watching football. Now, according to him, he says spending 2 hours to watch football is a waste of time, and Ghanaians should find better use of their time. Now, first of all, let's listen to what he said, and I'll tell you what some Ghanaians have been saying.
I think that, first of all, if you spend 2 hours watching football almost every 2 days, in a year, you would have spent 1,000 hours of your time, or 500 hours of your time watching football, that somebody is getting paid $500,000 a week, but you watch them for free and pay your hours into it, okay? And I don't think that's a good investment, because your time is your most important asset, but you have to use it sensibly. But what I would do for sports, which I think we're lacking, that will stop people from just watching and not being a part of the industry, is to start to infuse sports right into our educational system by partnering with people who are specialized on that.
So that's Nkwame Bediako, and I can see him for you a bit, you know, upbeat about that. And that's what some Ghanaians have been saying. Kifilu D says, he says that's where he will start having problems with Ghanaians. Our football pa, he says. And Eric Dia says that you think life is all about money. Oh, we have limited time on this earth. Let us enjoy what makes us happy. Well, before that's it for sports.
An election day, I'm told there's a match, yeah?
On Saturday, there's a match. It's a big game. There's a big game. And today, even, there's a big game. Manchester United versus Arsenal coming up. And we'll see what that's
about. So how can you grow the sports when it doesn't have spectators?
I think we'll talk to you. Thank you very much,
Ms. Bao, for the latest from the world of sports. Now, we've been hearing tonight also from founding member of the NPP, Dr. Nyahunyahu Tamaklo. He's called on the Electoral Commission and other national stakeholders to prioritize peace and fairness in the lead up to the next election. Speaking at a press briefing in Accra, Dr. Nyahunyahu Tamaklo highlighted the sacrifices of Ghana's forebears in building a peaceful nation.
To the Electoral Commission of Ghana and its leadership, particularly Madame Jean Mensa, we issue this clarion call. History stands as a testament to the critical role of the Electoral Commission in maintaining the sanctity of our democracy. You are not the first to hold this esteemed office, and you will not be the last. The legacy of this institution has always been one of fairness, transparency, and impartiality. We urge you to ensure that the upcoming elections are conducted with utmost integrity and without any perception or trace of bias. Let us remember that the trust of the people is the cornerstone of democratic governance.
Meanwhile, former Science and Environment Minister Professor Kwabena Frimpong Boateng, also at that press conference, condemned the NPP's Ashanti Regional Chairman Bernard Ntribuesiako, popularly known as Chairman Wuntumi, for calling on Asante Man to rise up against alleged intimidation from other tribes. He says that could incite violence.
Going on about some pronouncement made by Chairman Wuntumi regarding some issues that happened in Techiman. I've seen that video, and before then there was another video that showed a bus returning from Granza, and when it got to Techiman, there were some people, young people, throwing stones and so on at the bus, breaking some of the windows. And the narrative was that it's Otunfuo's convoy. I didn't say Otunfuo. I saw a bus. I can't say it was a convoy. Maybe it was that was being stolen. And then there's this viral video. Chairman went to me, called upon Ashanti to arise. You know, it's a war cry. I mean, trying to instigate war in this country. I mean, Ghana is a very peaceful country.
Well, on the conduct of Ghanaians on Election Day, retired military officer Brigadier General Nunu Mensah at that press conference also called on the public to protect the country's democratic values.
But when we are gone, how are you going to take Ghana? When some of us are gone, people like Doctor here in our 80s are gone. Are you going to manage Ghana? Are you going to be able to manage Ghana? Do you have the courage to speak the truth, defend Ghana? That's what worries me most of the time, that we don't have the personnel with that kind of courage to speak their mind. I ended up fighting with everybody. As I was marching Nkrumah one day, but I'm not here for that. I championed everybody because I stood by the truth. I will never, never, never hide the truth. So be truthful. Tell the Ghanaian what is going on, so that those who are seeking political office know that, you know, they are promising so many things. Everything they are promising. I know they won't be able to do them. I know they can't. They won't be able. But they are promising. I never made any promise. But I made a few things that I contributed to national development. So I hope and pray that we can go to the election process without any big issue.
And tonight, there's also a call on civil society organizations in the country. And this is coming from the Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC. They've been asked to collaborate with one another on information sharing ahead of the polls. IDEC has deployed 1,500 observers across the country with representatives in 150 constituencies addressing the media at the launch of IDEC's National Elections Control Room in Accra. The Executive Director, Dr. Emmanuel Akwete, emphasized that ensuring the accuracy of information will help prevent duplication and curb misinformation.
There are so many situation rooms now, and what information do they get? How do they process it? For example, with a CFI IDEC, you don't just take information and give it to somebody else. You have to do some research. You have to talk to people involved in those things, and then it's only when you are able to do that and have the evidence, so that if it's a criminal case or something the police must know, you have the evidence that this is an important issue they must act on, and so on. We also should avoid duplication or race in putting forward information. You know, it's just like radio. When you all started, you know, there was some competition. Everything goes on, but this can't be like that, because elections, much as we all queue up and vote, also has dangerous elements. You know, it has emotional sides of it. People want to win, they are afraid of losing, and then it's a winner takes all. It's been like that for some time. So we tend to want to say whatever information is going out has been verified. Now that there are many, some code of conduct may be necessary, some training will be necessary, so that we don't compete in putting information out that has not been verified. It will affect us negatively.
That's the Executive Director of the Institute of Democratic Governance, Dr. Akwete, Emmanuel Akwete, there on that call to CSOs in terms of collaborating and together work done. Well, Chief Justice Gertrude Tokono has tonight also authorized the judge who presided over the criminal trial of the failed Joabing MCE nominee to deliver judgment in the case despite having been transferred. Justice Priscilla Dikru Ofori had set November 28 as a day to render her verdict on the matter of election-related corruption filed by the OSP against Kwabena Suffolk and Tanka, but was transferred, leaving the party stranded in court last week with a new judge. The Chief Justice is now giving the judge the go-ahead to deliver her judgment. Kweku Asante of our Legal Affairs Desk has more.
It was an unexpected twist of events on the 28th of November when officers of the Special Prosecutor went to court only to meet a new judge in this case. Justice Prisla Dikro, who had been presiding over the trial since 2022, had been transferred. They were not aware. The case had almost concluded, with the only outstanding business being the final judgment. In 2022, Mr. Safo Kantanka was charged by the special prosecutor over election-related corruption. The OSP accused him of seeking to influence the conduct of about 26 assembly members who are members of the Juabin Municipal Assembly by giving them an amount of 5,000 cedis during an election to confirm his nomination by President Akufo-Addo in September of 2022. The meeting to confirm Mr. Safo Kantanka, Juabin Constituency New Patriotic Party chairman as MC, was marked with drama as he publicly demanded the refund of monies paid to some assembly members to influence them to get him confirmed. The OSP consequently charged him in court and a trial ensued. Private legal practitioner Samson Ladi Anyenini described the situation surrounding the transfer of the judge as not regular, but said it was not unusual. He explained that the Chief Justice may give the judge a warrant to conclude the case.
It may not be regular, but it is not unusual. So I'm doing a trial and we take an adjournment. Within a matter of a week, we return and the judge who is doing the matter has been transferred.
Chief Justice Gertrude Tokunu, according to the Judicial Service, has given the judge a warrant to conclude this case. A statement from the Judicial Service said, quote, "The judge has presented a list of all outstanding judgments and rulings and has been authorized to deliver all outstanding judgments and rulings," unquote. The Judicial Service says, contrary to certain publications in the media, transfers within the judiciary are not meant to truncate ongoing cases. They are annual administrative processes that are carried out depending on the situation with judges who serve in the various courts in the country. Kwiku Asante for Joy News.
And that's how we wrap up tonight's edition of Newsnight. But don't forget, the election headquarters will start our coverage with the election eve on Friday, 6th December at 7 p.m. Guess what to expect? After months of campaigning, the race ends here. Election eve in Ghana, in a way only Joy News can bring to you. From the first vote, the analysis of trends, to the critical count. Understand what is happening in your constituency and across the country on your most trusted name in election coverage. Joy News, your election headquarters. Election Eve in Ghana, Friday, 6th December 2024. The Joy News special coverage starts at 7 p.m.
And we are there also for you for the two major rallies tomorrow. You want to stay with us here on Joy 99.7 FM, Joy News, also my joyonline.com and all our social media platforms. I am Emefa Apau, strong and sassy with Enimwa Enimado is up next. Please do stay. Enimwa, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, so tonight, ahead of the elections, we want to know what's on the minds of women. You know, what do they want from the next government? What does it mean for them to have peace? So tonight's show is a very interactive show. And that's really it. But we'll be starting with you. So stay tuned in.